February 28th, 2018 at 7:30 a.m. This is the Utilities and Environment Committee meeting, and our topic today is the Toledo Area Water Authority Memorandum of Understanding and Proposed Ordinance Number 1-2018. Present this morning, myself, Mary Westphal, and other committee members, Mark Fry, Sandy Hussman, Patrick Richardson. Also joining us, council members Doug Hainem, Katie Capellini, Mark Lukey, and guests with us today, Joe Shaw and Ben Black, as well as Mayor Stow, Brian Dickens, Kevin Aller, Bill Sanford, and Leslie Brining. So with that, I just begin by sharing that we definitely all had the opportunity to review the Toledo Area Water Authority Memorandum of Understanding. We were grateful for Mr. Fry and Ms. Hussman's comments and questions. I think they were very informative and helped to fill in some of the detail here. I believe that our goal here is to vet the Memorandum of Understanding, make sure that we as a committee feel comfortable with it, and ideally we'll feel ready to advance legislation saying that we support moving forward with the TAWA agreement here, the Memorandum of Understanding. With that being said, please, as a reminder, we will also be having a Committee of the Whole meeting on Monday, our next council meeting at 6:30. I think that's March 5th. Am I correct about that? And so, again, our goal today to vet this, make sure we're ready to move forward with legislation. And with that, I'm going to share with you, I talked to Mr. Aller a little bit yesterday. He didn't feel there was anything necessarily new to add to the discussion. We've got with us Brian Dickens from the chamber, who actually has been involved with this as well, and Mayor Stow. And I just would like to ask, I'm not sure who to direct the question to, but is there anything new that should be brought to the table for our information regarding the other legislative bodies and their review, questions that they've had, concerns that they've had, and if anybody has moved forward the legislation or decided to hold on the legislation? And perhaps, Mr. Dickens, you would be appropriate to share that information with the group.
Great, thank you. In terms of the other communities, I know a lot of them are working through their council processes. As you are, had a meeting with the Village of the White House last night. It is their intention to pass a resolution next week to proceed. But at this point, we don't have a date from the other communities as to exactly when they plan to pass theirs. We've heard that most of them are going to try to honor the March 15th date in there, although we know specifically Toledo is taking a little bit more time as they have their public meeting scheduled to be in March. So in terms of process, that's where we're at with their decision making process.
So for the committee members, certainly we've reviewed the information. Is there anything specific you'd like to bring to the attention or additional concerns or questions that you have that either Mr. Dickens or Mr. Aller or Mayor Stow could respond to?
Well,
my question.
And the only question that I really make, did you have something to add?
Keep going.
What I wanted to have a little bit of additional clarity on the advisory committee concept, like the current leadership team that's involved with decision making and recommending the memorandum of understanding, the way the committee comes together, that current group takes on a different role. They don't completely go away. Could you just offer a little clarity on that?
Sure. I believe you're referring to the transition advisory group. That was language specifically brought forth by Mayor Stow, really to have that importance of keeping some continuity through that decision process over the first year or two of the board. So their role is really going to be, and Mayor, correct me if I'm not getting your intent, because elected officials and current employees are not going to be eligible to serve on felt that it was important to have that continuity, to make sure that the intent of this process over the past year was carried out by the board, both from content within the agreement, but also that historical background, because some of these individuals have been working on the issue for probably 20 years. So they bring a lot of that historical knowledge to the table and understanding as to how we got to the point that we have in front of us today.
You know, you did make a reference to the Village of White House, and that you expected the other legislative bodies to drive for that March 15th deadline. Have you been at any meetings where there has been public participation yet?
Village of White House had some last night.
Okay.
I know the City of Maumee held a meeting the evening before the MOU was signed. I think there was one or two people from the public there. But that was, for the most part, the extent. I know that Toledo was having six meetings over the next month with each of their council districts to gain some additional public input.
And have they had any of those meetings yet?
No, the first one was tomorrow at 5:30.
Okay. Mr.
Hanum,
I think you had a question.
Well, I have lots of questions, but the sort of big picture question is the City of Toledo can we do this without the City of Toledo?
Yes.
Okay, talk to me about that.
It has been very clear through this process, and it has come up a number of times in meetings, that no one entity is critical to making this happen, including the City of Toledo. So we could very well see a regional authority form that has the other eight communities involved coming together.
Including Lucas County.
To pursue other options. Certainly Sylvania has been looking at an option to build a facility. Other communities are having conversations with Bowling Green about partnering with them. There's the possibility, and I will give credit to Eric Rothstein, who's been our facilitator on this, of exploring an option of purchasing excess capacity from the City of Detroit. We have 3 to 4 times what they need. So what will it take to build a pipeline coming in from the north? So we could have a combination of those. Certainly, Tawa, if Toledo was not, they could attempt to negotiate a contract with the City of Toledo. So there's a lot of options on the table that can be implemented that does not involve Toledo being a part of that Tawa organization.
So if the City of Toledo doesn't participate, what we're really talking about is having a structure to negotiate water purchases somewhere else.
Correct.
No, to negotiate water
purchases from Toledo or someplace else. No, I understand.
Yeah, right. Not just
someplace else. Well, someplace other than Tawa.
Yeah.
The way Tawa's, as I understand it, the way it's contemplated is that ultimately Tawa will have a water production capability as well as a distribution capability. If we don't have the hub, I mean, the distribution systems all come from the city of Toledo, the existing ones, correct? I mean, we have getting water from Detroit to Perrysburg and Maumee is a little different than getting water from Detroit to Monroe and Sylvania, just physically, right? I mean, we could.
I would have to defer that from the technical standpoint. If Toledo is not part of it, does it complicate and make things? Yes, but it is, my understanding is that it is still possible to put a firewall in, if you will, and separate the systems.
It is, without Toledo, you're right, all the piping systems are set up to, you know, within water distribution systems, you start from big pipes and eventually work down to smaller pipes.
Right.
And all of those big pipes are in Toledo right now. But there are, you know, it may be a situation where some of our existing 12-inch lines in the northern part of our system have to be increased to, you know, 24 or 36, mm-hmm. or whatever, and then be able to work around the perimeter of Lucas County system and ultimately get down to a connection with the Maumee and that kind of stuff. So does it take some infrastructure improvements? Yeah, yes, it does. But if the scenario is that we're able to get the water from the north, perhaps Perrysburg and Maumee, you can get some, and work with Bowling Green to get water from the south, and then we meet in the middle type of thing. Uh-huh. You know, that's also a possibility. So.
Would we structure, if, I guess my sense of reading this is that if we were not going to do a deal with the city of Toledo, we would structure this a little differently.
That's probably true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably true. Even the makeup of the board is, you know, on the premises of the board.
Right.
So, yeah, that's true, I think the basis of the MOU stays true, but it would definitely be.
I mean, yeah, I'm not. I think the concept is still. The concept of a regional water authority makes some sense. I'm not sure that this particular structure would be ideal without the city of Toledo.
Well, I do think that we would have to, I mean, there would be a need to go back to discussions if the city of Toledo's not in. I think that we would not be, today we're looking at this to determine whether all of the legislative bodies will move forward, but if one or others don't, there will be another discussion.
Well, I guess my point on that is that clearly the city of Toledo is going to go beyond the original March 15th deadline for considering this. And if the city of Toledo made a decision not to participate in this, I'm not sure this is the vehicle that we would want. So my concern is about timing and about the type of, our commitment to this without the commitment of the city.
So I think that brings up a very important question that is one of the questions I have, and that many of the items in here suggest that the final plan of operation would have more detail and just clarity on what the process is. I think that agreeing to this MOU isn't saying that we are making a final decision. It's simply saying it's a next step and that there are other decisions. So understanding that process might be helpful in your staff design.
That's correct. This agreement to approve the MOU is a commitment to pay your share of the Pennsylvania's share of the transition costs. But once all those rules are written and the utility is established, then you take another vote to determine whether or not you're going to actually join. The politics right now, or where you're kind of going towards, and let me just tell you the latest that I got last night. From the very beginning, for several years, Toledo has that their charter requires the board of the public to sell the Collins Park water plant and the distribution system pipes that are in Toledo. That clearly clearly does not say that in their charter. We requested it, I've read it, their law director was flat out lying about it, he was probably ordered to do so. However, that provision, section 79, says that Toledo cannot enter into or establish a public utility without those people. Well, technically, that doesn't apply either. Toledo's mayor has gone to a large law firm in Cleveland, and I believe they've gotten the ruling that no, that doesn't apply either, but it could take a year or more to determine that. So the group, the old leadership in Toledo that have been saying, we want to keep the status quo. We want the suburbs to subsidize our water system. We want to pay much less than the suburbs do for our water, is what they're saying. And they're saying that Toledo taxpayers paid for the construction of the plant that's over there now. That is true that Toledo taxpayers own it. There's no question about that. But when it was built, half with federal grant money and another half with water revenue funds. And has been improved with water revenue funds all along. Suburbs make up about half of those water revenue dollars, and we have nothing to show for it after all these years. That's the crux of the problem. We have some leadership in Toledo that says, we own all this and we can do with it whatever we want, and we think you're bluffing that you're going to go someplace else. I'm told that Mayor Finkbeiner and his group of old leadership, ones who fight for the status quo, tell us all that you're just pounding sand and there's nothing you can do about it because you can't get your water anyplace else. And we'll go to court to force this vote of the public, even though the charter doesn't say that. In response to that, Mayor Katsikavich is going to have a press conference, I believe, today before their first water public meeting tomorrow, or today, and say, we're going to call for a vote of the public. We think this should happen. I don't think the vote's going to be until November, so it's going to be a many months delay, which plays right into Toledo's hand. The longer you delay, the more difficult it is to have new water online by the time the earlier contracts expire. Mayor Katsikavich says that he has polling data when he was running for mayor that said that the Toledo electorate supports the regional water system. That's why he felt confident enough during his election campaign to say that he supported it. Mayor Paula Hicks Hudson, if you recall, did not take him to task on it. In fact, it was hard to figure out where she stood on the issue because she did her own polling data and found out that, yes, Toledo taxpayers agreed with having a regional water system. But the old leadership in Toledo had already decided that we're going to fight this. So it's going to come down to, I think, a political battle, a PR campaign between new leadership of Wade Katsikavich and old leadership of Cardi Finkbeiner and Don Reinbold and Moline, or Bob Reinbold and Don Moline. And they're going to have a vote probably in November.
They did that with the sewer system, certainly. When they
the sewer system, you know, we really ought to go back and talk about that. Sylvania had its own sewer treatment plant back in the 1970s that we were outgrowing, and the EPA said you can't have it anymore. In fact, it was built right down on the side of our maintenance garage and where my office is right now. And concurrently with that, Lucas County and the city of Maumee were building a new Lucas County sanitary sewer plant down there in Waterville. And Sylvania had to make a choice. Toledo offered us to pump all our sanitary sewer flow to the city of Toledo and gave a pretty good price to do it. Or we could join with Lucas County system, build a very large main all the way down from Sylvania to Waterville. Part of it was already in, and pay more for a while. And fortunately, our leaders at that time chose the second option, the more expensive option, which was to join the Lucas County system. And it did cost more for a few years. But now we're paying rates significantly less than Toledo's paying, partly because Mayor Finkbeiner went to Chicago and told them that he would not accept a $50 million deal afford to take our water utility users' dollars to pay for Toledo's capital improvements. It just can't be pulled that way. The best solution is a regional system that we're all in equally and we're all doing the right thing. But Toledo's leadership, old leadership, says, no, we've taken advantage of the suburbs for more than half a century. We want to keep that deal. That's where we want to stay. So right now, my recommendation to you is to study this MOU. Think about it as a regional system, including Toledo. Contemplate what it will be like without Toledo, and probably cast it. Make the statement that we're involved with it. We think it's the right thing for the region. But do not count on it. I don't know that Wade Katsikavich is going to get this done, because when you have an election to the public that you need a yes vote on, all it takes is somebody to float out a few lies about it, and people have doubts, and they'll vote no. I don't know that this vote is winnable in the city of Toledo. We have other options. And yes, we will pay more for 10 or 15 or 20 years, but then we will pay yet less forevermore. I don't know exactly what those costs are. We've had a study. You've paid for it. It's going to increase our rates. And the two lines, remember we had the lines that Toledo Water and Sylvania's Water cross 20 years out or so? There may be a better option with the city of Detroit. I don't know. Monroe County's definitely in with us. So you need to honestly study this, see if you can live with it and pay for our part of the transition costs, which are 3% of the total water flow. The decision hasn't been made. Are we going to really move forward with transition costs if Toledo can't decide whether they're on board or not? I don't know that I'm for that.
I agree.
But I think you need to make the statement that, yes, we believe a regional water system is the right thing for our region. If that's the most economical, most responsible, and safest option for water in Lucas County and surrounding areas. But you can't bank on it. This old leadership is unbelievable.
Mr. Mayor, the transition costs, just to make sure that I understand that, if all legislative bodies don't approve it, no transition costs will be incurred, so we aren't at risk? Or could someone advance some of those transition costs even if Toledo isn't in and we still have risk?
Mary, could I just ask kind of a point of information question that I hope doesn't get us too far into the weeds, but I read in the media this week that Maumee has a bit of a different timeline, a little bit more sense of urgency here, and I was confused by their option, which I understand could include connecting with Bowling Green, but then would that take them out of this particular plan, or is that you know, where does the potential loss of Maumee, which is a pretty big ratepayer base, leave us?
The mayor of Maumee, Richard Carr, has said all along that Maumee's most economical option is to go through the Maumee rewilding system. They're working on studies to do that. And part of the reason for that is that their contract was a 30-year contract, or that 30-year contract was signed in 1996. Gives them declining block rates and a 40% surcharge that are water rates very similar to what inside people in Toledo pay, except for the biggest users. And for them to join TAWA and have their rates equalized over the next 8 years is going to cost their ratepayers money. And he feels, though he hasn't seen the final numbers, that they can help pay for an increase in the size of the Bowling Green water plant and perhaps not pay any more to that than they're going to pay for the eventual tower rates. But he's made the commitment, and I think this council is standing behind him, that it's better for the region for us to all have a regional system. That is the right way to go. And I think I've been out of town for a few days, but I think he's still there, and they're going to pass that up. Maumee's water contract ends in 1996. Perrysburg's ends in 2026, 2027. Perrysburg, Sylvania's in 2028. Ours was a 20-year water deal, signed after 12 years of being without a contract that we signed after we got Mayor Finkbeiner not to demand one-third of all of our income tax. He is getting 40% of new income tax on the Flower Hospital campus. Change for that, we went back from about 130 or 140% surcharge at the time, they were increasing at 10% every year, to what we have now, which is a 75% surcharge and no declining block rates. Mr. Mohn actually wrote the contract. So in that contract, we picked 2028, so it was a little bit after everybody else's contract comes. And we have a provision that says that we can close the pipes about any time we want, which none of the other ones do. The archaic water contracts also say that you can't co-mingle water from another source. Gee, that's a real good thing if you want to have a monopoly, isn't it? No, Toledo is not bargaining for pay. They never have.
So, Mayor, what I'm hearing you say is that although at some point Maumee may have to be forced to go on a run on their own, it seems to be a commitment today for them to continue.
No, at least with Mayor Carr, it's definitely a commitment to the power.
Okay.
And I would recommend that also from Sylvania. But if Toledo isn't a part of it, we really have to look at the other options. I don't know whether there really will be a power. I know Brian says that it can be, or should be. That may not be our best option. If we're going to splinter, let's splinter for our own best interest. It's very possible that there'll be a TAWA and we'll negotiate with Toledo and get a single master contract with Toledo. But how can I justify our ratepayers for the next 3 years putting money into Toledo's capital dollars into Toledo's water plants when 30 years they do the same thing all over again? I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Okay, Craig, if the city of Toledo isn't going to be prepared to act until the November election, you know, early 2000, we're talking probably early 2018, would be the earliest time they'd be in a position. That's right, 2019. It's, I have trouble keeping track of the years. These numbers are getting big. So, would we move forward with the court action and the formation of the water authority if we had a uniform agreement?
Brian and Eric Rothstein think we should do that.
Uh-huh.
I think that the group needs to talk more. There is a principals committee meeting this coming Monday, the 5th, in the afternoon, and I bet you that's going to be a subject of discussion. I think that that group's going to have to talk more seriously now. What happens between now and November? Do we actually form TAWA?
A couple of years ago, I realized that the city of Detroit had this capacity and made some inquiries up there about, trying to get somebody to talk to me about this. Really didn't do very well. Okay. One thing nice about, if we had a formal structure in place, or maybe if we independently talked with the city of Detroit, I would really love to look at those cost numbers. That kind of jumps out at me as a very reasonable alternative to a new water plant.
We are working on getting the cost of building a pipeline out from an appropriate place in Detroit.
Right.
Out past the city of Monroe into Monroe County. And of course, we have to build a water line west to Pennsylvania to get into our water mains. The city of Detroit draws its water from Lake Huron, which does not have an algae problem.
Right. They're a lot deeper, all those issues.
Better, and it does really create a regional water system. You want a regional water system, start at Lake Huron, come around Lake Erie.
Right.
That really works, because then there'll be the valves to open and close that we talked about all along. We should never have another time where we're going to close the potable water systems at the western Lake Erie because nobody was minding the store, and they couldn't decide whether the water was polluted or not, and the valves and the pipelines weren't there to interconnect different systems. That is so archaic, so lack of leadership. But that's what Toledo's former leadership is saying. No, we like the status quo. We think it works fine. And you weren't in the meetings when the Toledo system was shut down and there was money and water coming into the system. Sylvania was shorted on that. We were slapped in the face and said, no, you don't get that. All we're going to do is pump water out of Olander Lake and take it someplace else. We're not going to distribute any free water in Sylvania. It all goes to Toledo because you're just nobody. And Bob Reichel was the leader of that. We were treated as third or fourth class citizens in that. It was just horrendous what went on. Yes, our citizens took care of themselves just fine. But they took care of it. Toledo took care of their own.
Well, that whole thing was a fiasco, and it was largely because of the leadership in the city that we had a crisis in the first place, blown way out of proportion. But that's another story for another day.
I recommend your action now is to study the MOU that's in front of you. See if it's something you can live with if Toledo's involved in it, and we'll start contemplating if we can live with it without Toledo. We need more structure. The board structure is in need of money. But I would like the statement made, I would hope the statement would be made by all the 8 customers of Toledo that, yes, a regional system is something we're interested in. We know it's the right vision for the future, and we're prepared to move with it. And Toledo, if you don't move with it, or if you have your electorate vote against it in November, we're gone.
Where I am on having looked at this is there are things I might have written differently in this because that's how I write. That's how I am. I write things differently. I know.
I worked hard to keep everybody.
I know you did.
Everybody was looking at me to stand up and walk out of the room, and I didn't.
Right. I understand that. And so, having looked at this and thought about it a lot, it's not perfect, but I'd certainly recommend we move forward with this, if we're all in it together.
I've heard of nobody saying they don't want to do it.
Except, but if that hub isn't there, I really wonder if we shouldn't think about a different vehicle. That's
where. So my question is, if we have one member, Toledo or others, not advance the MOU in their community, does that make this invalid, and can we go back?
No, that's not what it says. It does say that
we move forward
without one member or so.
Yeah.
And I still think you should do it. I think that's still the right message. But until it's filed with the Lucas County Court, there's no expenses. There's nothing that's going to happen.
And the final plan of operation will have other points of discussion if someone does not come on board.
Absolutely.
And I think we're just trying to make sure that there are the checks and balances in place if somebody stays out, and it sounds like you feel confident that they are in place.
I think they are.
Okay.
We're still, it's got a long way to go. I'm disappointed that we have to wait another 6 or 7 months. But we're waiting.
Yeah, and I know, I've talked with Wade about this, and we wouldn't be anywhere without Wade's leadership on this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're not here beating up on the city of Toledo. I understand his, you know, I remember when Mayor Ford decided to take the city's sewer enhancement program and all that cost to the voters, because he didn't feel he could do that without it. I understand the politics of it, but the politics for us is that we've actually been very patient waiting for this last mayoral election in the city of Toledo to conclude, and we because we were ready to move towards this probably a year ago. We didn't have everything in place. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. I would hate to give up another year in moving forward with an alternative water supply while we wait for the city of Toledo to decide if they want to do what's clearly in their best interest and the best interest of the region. So, you know, I would hope that we would, if the city's not going to be prepared to, if the city of Toledo isn't going to be prepared to move forward, I think we need to continue to move forward on the alternative supply.
We need to balance the cost of moving ahead with our own system with the possibility of having the regional system work out. And I don't have those answers for you. We need to take the next step. Our first step was back in 1998 when we acquired the right of way to Lake Erie. We did another step then, which was just do a study of how much our own system would cost back in 2005 or so. We did another step last year, which was let's update those costs. Let's see what it really looks like now. So we need to figure out what the next step is, which might be to do preliminary engineering and to write an agreement with the Monroe County Drain Commission to form a water system. Not forming yet, but let's take the next step. Let's put more meat on the bones and be ready to go. Things that we have to do, even if there was going to be no power, let's do that. And my point Monday is going to be that any expenses that I incur are going to go into power now, because we're wasting time because we didn't agree.
Well, I would love to explore not just the plan, but the big pipe to Detroit, because I think that has great potential.
Depending on who I talk to, it is a big pipe. It's going to be a 4 or 5 foot pipe, but I heard that it's going to be a lot less than building our own.
But the point is, I mean, there's so much benefit to this, to the state of Michigan, there's reason to think that there would be other sources of financing that would be available to help us do that system.
But also, we spend all this money on a pipeline, we're right back to where we don't own a water plant, and somebody else can take the price on us.
Sure.
Again, I think this is the next stage of discussion, and today we're focused on the memorandum of understanding. Just a point of clarification. Mrs. Brining provided the transition costs. The transition costs to the city of Toledo are anticipated to be about $150,000. Is that correct? I meant city of Savannah. I said Toledo. So sorry. Yeah, our portion will be $150,000. Just a point of clarification. So with that, I would...
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I do have a question for Mr. Dickens.
Because we don't get to see you very often, and I think you can help us with this. First of all, I want to commend the Toledo Area Chamber for their incredible leadership on this matter. I think to step up on a issue that is so important to both the city and the suburbs is a real expression of leadership. So I think your leaders and you need to be congratulated about that. The question I have, though, on this potential election with the city of the city in November. Because you've taken a great leadership role up to this point. Can we expect that the chamber and the business advocacy community will participate in that ballot issue discussion in terms of an advocacy for getting it done? Or are you going to leave it to the Toledo politicians to try to get that done? Well, it is, of course.
What we have said, as we came out of the January 31st signing, is that we remain committed to working to make this a reality. So we'll continue to work with all of the communities with the Nintala system as that develops to make sure that it is successful. And if this does go to a ballot, yes, we will continue to be engaged. This is probably the biggest single issue facing the region, and the consequences are not good if we can't find a way to collaborate. And yes, the optimal situation, and what we understand, is that Tawa is the first option for all the communities. But as Mayor Stiles said, it would be irresponsible for you not to consider other options if this doesn't. You have to protect your residents. But we will remain engaged, whatever those next steps look like, and support how it works.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion in particular from the utility committee members? A question. I wonder if there is a motion to advance the POW Memorandum of Understanding legislation to the council meeting on the 18th.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that. The utility committee.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were other.
This wasn't a committee of the whole, I forgot.
Yeah. Mark Fryant moved. Is there a second? Sandy seconded. That we would advance legislation for the TAWA at Sunday's council meeting. So all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries, and this legislation will be prepared in advance. But I do want to have one other discussion right now. We do have a committee of the whole scheduled for Monday evening. Our goal there was to make sure all of our council members had opportunity for input. We were predicting this evening to join us, as well as Eric to be the director. We did and are open to public comment. That meeting is scheduled for 6:30. And I just want to certainly make sure that the group knows that I'm not sure that we mean 6:30 to 7:30, but I will put no input on that. And, you know, Mr. Dickens, you've indicated to us that you have not had widespread community participation at least. Am I correct on that? At the outline one. White House being the only one, you said we're the only one.
At the ones that we participated, so there may have been other meetings that I'm not aware of, but at least the ones that we've participated in, it has been. So.
Okay. So just for the good of the group, we're comfortable with that 6:30 time frame?
Yeah. Can we make it shorter at this point?
I think we can make an adjustment to the time if we want to ask the question, but I think we know what that conversation will be.
The legislation that we're talking about is Ordinance 1, right?
Correct.
Okay. Based on our discussion today, I want to think about whether, I have concerns about Section 3 of that legislation. Based on what we heard today, because it triggers the financial obligations referenced in Section 5, I agree with a lot of this. I really wonder whether I want to look at this agreement more and see whether I think we ought to be entering into this under the uncertainty that we have.
I think that the lawyers will be taking careful look at that legislation based on our conversations today, and may appropriate adjustments, and certainly if there's questions, we can make adjustments.
Well, to me, the question is, do we want to shorten the committee of the whole meeting? And I don't have a problem shortening it. Do we have a large, do we anticipate a large agenda for Monday's meeting? So if 150 people show up and want to have input, if we have to delay the start of the council meeting by a few minutes, then we delay the start of the council meeting by a few minutes. Then I don't see any reason why we can't move it to 7. Okay. I don't care one way or the other, but.
Yeah, we haven't really had much impact or input from our citizens. I guess this, to me, the whole, or for Monday, is a time where we would offer to hear from our citizens.
I think we did post it, and we did. I talked with Mr. Aller about getting it posted on the website. We've missed the deadline to actually put any big notice in the Savannah Advantage. We did have a conversation about other ways that we could let the community be aware. I don't know. You might know the policy well enough.
No, I
can put it on the board.
We certainly can. I think that, and we can put it on the Facebook page. There's a number of places we could put it. I think the point was that we wanted to have some sort of public process.
Yeah,
and we felt that a 7:30 on a Wednesday meeting probably was not that. So I personally think that moving it to 7 o'clock allows any members of the public who are interested to come in and be part of that. And I think whatever Laura can do to push it out, she'll do, and I think that's sufficient.
And I would say that I did speak with Mr. Allen about questions coming in to him regarding this, and there have not been a lot of my accurate math statements.
That's correct.
So, not really just got more quiet over the whole room full of people, but I think right now.
But no, then that's
great.
Right.
Under the, you're talking about the 6119 process?
Oh, that's great. Thank you for that clarification. Okay. So, if we're comfortable with that, we'll move that meeting on Monday to 7 o'clock versus 6:30. And I wonder what the people want to do.
So moved.
Mark moved and Sandy seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
So this meeting stands adjourned at 8:20.